This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Hello, I am Michelle.
And I'm Natalie the Red.
And we are Force of By Entertainment. Well, hello to everyone tonight that is already in the chat. Nice to see you all this
evening.
As
always.
Yes, on this Memorial Day. And of course, we are here tonight to review, give our spoiler review, but we will warn you when we begin to get into spoilers. But our spoiler review of the new movie, A Quiet Place Part 2. So we'll be discussing that. But before we get into that, I just want to wish everyone who has served or is currently serving in the military, we just all want to say thank you at Force of By Entertainment. Thank you for your service on this Memorial Day. So we appreciate all of you all. And we understand that freedom isn't free. And we appreciate everyone who has served in our military. So happy Memorial Day to everyone out there.
That's right.
This evening. Well, okay. So we are going to get into our, again, spoiler review of A Quiet Place 2. And the way we do that, the way we do our reviews here, reviews/discussions, we'll discuss some of the stuff. But the way we do that today or anytime is we give you our initial thoughts of the movie. We tell you what we liked, what we did not like, and then we give you our final rating of this movie. So we'll begin. And again, I will tell you, so in initial thoughts, Natalie, don't do any spoilers.
Okay.
We'll tell you when we're about to get into spoilers. But this movie has been a year coming because this was the first big movie that pushed back its date when the pandemic hit in 2020. So we've been waiting literally over a year because A Quiet Place was such a just a big hit. I mean, a small budget movie, $18 million budget movie that grossed tons of money and demanded a sequel, basically, the way it left off. And clearly,
and I love that.
You know, the first one was such an intimate movie. Clearly, they did not, the way that first one ended, I think that's known. John Krasinski has talked about that. They were not thinking of a sequel when they wrote the first movie. It was its own intimate story that they told. But it just did so well that Paramount Pictures was like, you guys need to do a sequel. So here we are, years later, we have A Quiet Place Part 2. And I will say that this is probably my most anticipated movie of this year.
Yeah.
And I will say, so now we'll move into initial thoughts. This movie did not disappoint. It did not let me down in the slightest. I literally, there were so many moments in the theater, and this is a movie that you need to see in the theater.
Yeah,
so if you're maybe a little uncomfortable going back to the theater, just wait like a week or two and pick an odd time and you'll probably be there by yourself. But it's worth seeing in the theater. The jump scares, the intensity, this movie brings it. And it's worth that shared experience in the theater. It's awesome. And I thought too, before we get in, I'll give you more of my initial thoughts. I thought it was cool. John Krasinski, even before they showed ours, they had him, he had filmed something about, he's so glad his movie could bring people back to the theater.
I noticed that. What
I've said before about it being a shared experience.
Right. And so like there's nothing quite like seeing a movie in a theater.
There is. And especially a movie like this and hearing the oohs and the ahs. And I thought it was cool. He was all throughout Texas. I believe he stopped in Houston and Austin. And he was just surprising people at the movie theater and that were there to see A Quiet Place too. And you could you could tell how excited he is. Of course, he wrote and directed both the first and the second one, I believe.
Yeah.
And so that's just
quite
cool.
An accomplishment.
It is, from Jim to writing this awesome movie. So
I love it.
I love it too. But yeah, so my initial thoughts, it did not disappoint. And then before we kind of move into other stuff, I need part three. That was my initial thoughts. That's what I wanted.
I think you nailed it.
So, Natalie, what were your initial thoughts?
It is. Okay. I will say, first of all, just touching on that, what she just said, I didn't really know, like, even though it was a second one, in my mind, it was a second one. Like, you know, there was going to be a sequel and this wasn't a trilogy. And then when she says that when we leave, I'm like, okay, this totally makes sense now. This is the Empire Strikes Back of this trilogy.
It is.
You know, so I'll just kind of say that for my initial thoughts, but also, I loved it. I loved it. And I was, this was one of those movies I was genuinely excited to see.
Yes.
Like, I was pumped. I was like excited walking in the theater, sitting down. And like Michelle said, it did not disappoint. And the other just big feeling impression this left with me is like, they really have something special here.
They do.
It's really, it's not your everyday, like, of the genre. It's really something special and just really well made and wonderfully done and written and directed and acted. I mean, they just kind of hit it out of the park with this series so far.
They have, part one and part two. And we'll get into this. And I'll say this before we begin to move into spoilers. If you liked part one, you will like part two.
Yeah.
And because part two, what they did so awesome is they took what you really enjoyed from the first one and they kept it and even magnified it at times, while at the same time making it different enough that you don't feel like you watch the same movie.
Yeah.
So they really hit it out of the park with that, because that where the first one is very intimate and mostly at their house, this one has more of an adventure feel. There's they're going
there's
places.
Always something going.
There's something, yes, there's something going on. And when she says Empire Strikes Back, we were discussing what we mean by that. In fact, I feel like they have a good victory by the end of this. That is, I guess, a little spoiler. But when we say Empire Strikes Back, there's kind of, they're following two storylines,
yeah,
which is different from the first one, which is like the Empire Strikes Back, where all of a sudden they're following two storylines. So that's what we mean when we say Empire Strikes Back type sequel. But kind of Empire Strikes Back type sequel is really good.
Yeah.
It's a really good sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it's quality.
They did an awesome job with it. And thank you, Roger H., for the $1.99 super sticker. Appreciate that. Yeah, this one, yes. I mean, the first movie was so intimate. That's a word I would use. It was an intimate movie. And the second one, while they go on up, like kind of, it feels bigger because they've left the house to a degree, it still has that intimacy that made the first one very special. And I think that's really cool.
I'm about to get a little sappy here. There's something very special and unique when you can take circumstances that are so dire.
Yes.
And there's still like hope and beauty throughout the films.
Yes, there is.
I very much find that to be the case in this, these two movies.
Yes.
And you don't see that all the time.
And a lot of heart and emotion in both movies that you really appreciate. So that's kind of our spoiler-free initial thoughts. And I will say this, if you are someone, that's why we did it on Monday. We're trying to give you guys the most amount of time possible to go see it in theaters. And again, go see it in a theater.
We're going
to
go see it again tomorrow
night.
We
are. We're going to see it our second time tomorrow night. But I will say this, as we're about to move into spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, you can come back. You can go away and come back after you've watched the movie. But I will say this. This is the type of movie that we may be... Even if we spoil a little bit of it, it's not going to ruin the movie, because we're not going to tell you every moment that there's going to make you jump in your seat, because that's what's so fun about this movie. So even though we can kind of tell you who lives or dies in the spoiler discussion, that's kind of going to be it as far as that and kind of plot things, because
it's a very like basic outline.
It's a basic outline that even if you listen to this and you've not seen it yet, it's not going to take away your enjoyment from this movie. Is all I'm saying to that. So if you want to stay, I understand not wanting to be spoiled, but if you do stay, it's not a killer that you're going
to
be.
We're saying feel free to stick around.
Yes, if you want. And thank you, Mr. Buttcrack Media, for the $1.49 super sticker. Appreciate that. Okay, so let's begin to dive into what we liked. And I'm just going to be real.
A lot.
What I like is this much. I actually had to find a nitpick gripe to come up with something that I didn't like for this movie. So we're going to be in what we liked for quite some time in this spoiler review of this movie. Okay, so first, this movie picks up, well, actually, it begins with a prelude. It goes to day one of when...
Which was, like, wonderful to do, I thought.
Yes. So we get a little bit more information on these aliens, which they are aliens, coming. And
what that day was like.
Yes.
And the impact on the town.
Yes. And all I'm going to say, because we're not going to fully walk through everything, we'll just kind of pick things that really stood out to us. But the opening scene, it set the page, the pace for this movie. And the whole opening scene was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. And it gave us just enough information that I think it was really good as far as for, like, if this does become a trilogy, which I think it will. Because watching, they're at their son's baseball game. And there, of course, this movie continues with the Abbott family. And, of course, stars Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. But they add, how do you say his name,
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. Sorry there.
Peaky Blinders guy.
Yes, Batman Begins guy. Scarecrow.
Peaky Blinders fan.
Yes, great actor. And he is added, and you first see him in this opening scene because he's friends of the family. I think maybe one of his sons is playing baseball with their son.
Yeah, they're at least like friendly, like good acquaintances, if not friends.
Yes. Yeah, so you see just all of a sudden, like, well, they set up actually in the drugstore, like, what, something has landed already. But then as they're there at the baseball field, you see like a comet shooting and everyone just like, come on, let's go. And you're like, oh.
Right.
But anyways, I love something we'll get to later, because I will say this, that how do you say his name again?
Cillian
Murphy as Emmett. Him and the daughter, of course, the daughter's name in the movie is Reagan. To me, they were the stars of this movie.
Yeah.
Of course, Emily Blunt is
killed
great.
Killed it, because she does.
Yeah,
she does.
She's great. She's fantastic in this movie. But I didn't see this coming. They subverted my expectations, if you want to say, in a very positive way.
Of them being kind of turning into the heartbeat of the movie.
Yes. Yes. Like, they're definitely, as I said, it's split into two storylines. They're definitely story one, and Emily Blunt's is kind of story two, really.
Yeah, it's true.
And they kill it, and their relationship. And I love in the opening scene, here's what good writing does. You see this in movies like Jurassic Park. They will establish something in the opening scene that's going to come into play later.
Pay off later.
And they do that because, of course, the daughter, Reagan, is deaf. And I believe she's played by a deaf actress, isn't
yes,
she?
Yeah, that's what
and
I've read.
That little girl's just, she's adorable. She really is. And she does a phenomenal job in both movies, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It brings me to something else I love about this movie.
Yeah. She brings so much heart. And you can feel her pain. Like, it's great acting she does. But I love, of course, this is spoilers. Of course, she is deaf, so they do sign language, and he asks her, because it's baseball, how do you say dive? Emmett asks, how do you say dive in sign language? And they show her, they show him the sign. And it's little things like that, guys, that eventually when Emmett or her and
the,
it is the little things. When Emmett and Reagan are in this dire situation on the docks, I think I said out loud, I said dive. Like, I was like in the theater, like, dive.
And I was kind of like, what is she talking about? Because I didn't notice that that was the word.
Yes.
I didn't even realize that that was the word he'd said until just now.
Yes, because it was such an awesome payoff, because they set it up, which a good writing sets things up, and then it pays off at the end. And there's so many payoffs in this movie. But that opening scene, back to that, I mean, like, say, Emily Blunt, I was watching an interview. She literally, they had that bus coming at her at 45 miles per hour. And the way they film that, where she's turned around in reverse and you see a bus coming at her, then it's just chaotic in a perfect way.
Okay, yeah. It's like, I told Michelle, I wanted to see this movie again and take notes, because there's literally that many things that I could like make bullet points of things that I like. But okay, so from the get-go, like, pretty much, like, those scenes, you are just like, I just love when you're sitting in your chair as a viewer, you know, and it's like, you're like
gasping,
like, don't worry about me being quiet, because I can't even like take a breath, you know? Like, oh my gosh, you know, your heart kind of stops. But it's just like, because it's like, it's that real feeling. Like, you are there. And through so much of this movie, you're like there with the characters.
Yes.
Like, you're like seeing what they're seeing. In the daughter's case, it's like, I thought that was like brilliant to show almost kind of like the world through her eyes.
Yes, they do that multiple times in the movie.
Just how totally quiet, like, you know, just looking around and seeing and not being able to hear anything.
That, and we'll get it. Yeah, I'll get into that in a second. But yes, when they will, because they do that a couple times in the movie. Of course, the movie is always quiet, hence A Quiet Place. But when they will, all of a sudden they'll switch it to where you're hearing what she's hearing, and it's nothing. And it's very frightening in this world. And when they do that, it's just those little details that make a movie really great. And this movie's great.
It's great.
The first one's great, and the second one is great.
We rate it great.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So of course they show the prelude, and then it picks up right where the last one left off after she had, boom, boom, they figured out that the noise, the frequency bothers them, these monsters, these aliens. And of course, Emily Blunt shot it. And the one little nitpick at the end of the first movie, because we just done a watch along with our friend Yeti Cast. That was a lot of fun. But at the end of the first one, after she shot it, more were coming for them.
Yeah.
And they kind of don't show that. They just kind of skip over that and they're able to walk out. So
right.
That's me nitpicking. That's a nitpick.
True. Technically, yes. That is correct.
But it picks up there because the daughter has spotted, like, she set a fire up top and she spotted there's another fire. So, of course, that's where they go and they meet Emmett. And the whole point, the whole place to where they get to Emmett. I mean, when, like, Emily Blunt, like that, there's a trap and the kid steps in it and you're like, oh, because you know, just, he wants to scream.
Those are those moments I'm talking about in this movie, that the whole action sequence, you just like, you almost like can't take a breath because it's just like so intense and you're so invested in this movie.
That's an interesting, did the monster see sound? That's a really good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Almost like frequency.
My head's like,
yeah, I don't know. That's really cool. And then when Emily Blunt is like, run, just one of those moments in the theater, you're like, go, go,
yes, go.
Like you feel for them so much, like, please run.
And then I think just like, even as a mother myself, it's like, and then her son falls in that thing and it's like, they're trying to go and they're trying to, but it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so sorry. It wasn't her fault, but it's just like, you'd feel so bad for your child.
Man, the boy in this one, he has a tough time in this movie.
He does. He is struggling.
He has a tough time. It's tough for the kid. I'm trying to think of just things that I really enjoyed in this movie. And Emily, so of course, the girl has figured out that they hear on the airways Somewhere Over the Sea, that song, that old, like, is it a 50s song?
Yeah, like Somewhere Beyond the Sea.
Yes, Beyond the Sea.
I won't sing it for you guys.
And she is able, like her dad, because they established that she is, it's like father, like daughter.
Yeah.
She's the most like him.
Right.
And she, you know, her dad was very intelligent. They set that up in the first one.
And just an all around great guy.
Yes. And you see that in the opening scene.
Yeah.
And something I want to point out, and I'd love to speak to almost like Matt, a common idiot from, because he has military background. I point out to Natalie little details like, of course, his name is Lee, but John Krasinski's character, he's with the daughter on day one when all of this is breaking loose.
Yeah.
And he sees his wife and two other kids and she goes to run for him and he stops her. And it's just like, I little things like that hit me, because in a world like this, that's why I would like to talk to Matt from, who has military experience. It really is like, I can't help them if we're dead.
Right. Like, it's like
we survival to the fullest.
Purely survival in moments like that.
Yes.
I think so many things like that, it's so easy to be like, oh, well, I do this or I do this. But it's like really in the moment, if you're faced with a fear like that, it's like, we don't always know exactly.
And what
how
I'm saying
react.
Is it's not even smart to go to them.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Then you're just going to get yourselves killed and you can't help them at all. Because
so it's
you're
like,
dead.
It's fast thinking for
it
sure.
It is fast
like
thinking.
Instinct thinking, you know, but it's, you feel for them.
It is. So of course, then you find out in this movie that Emmett on day one lost his two sons, this new male character, because I was kind of like, you know, with John Krasinski's character, Lee, giving the ultimate sacrifice of love for his children, of giving his life for them. It was kind of like, well, who's going to fill this role? Will they put a man in there to fill this role? And they do, because to me, this movie's very well balanced for male and female alike can love this movie.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And again, to me, Emmett, played by, say his name again,
Cillian Murphy.
I'm going to note by the end of
Thomas
the stream.
Thomas Shelby, whatever you know him by.
Emmett, he's an all-star in this movie, because he has the hero's journey of this movie.
And it's like, I know it's kind of like a horror movie, but there's just so many, like, it gets you in your feelings moments in these
definitely.
Movies. Like, dang.
Because when they meet him, he's like, I can't help you guys. And Emily Blunt,
like, he's just been like soul crush. Like
he lost his two sons on day one, and he's lost his wife a few months before. She died of like some kind of sickness, and he said, I couldn't help her. And he's just broken at when they find him. And he's kind of like, you guys have to leave. He's just at a very broken place. And what's so sweet and touching.
I love to see a person transform. So that's always going to like pull up, you know, or them get their groove back, however you want to put it.
Well, and it's the classic hero's journey, because he starts in this broken place. And what's interesting is him and the daughter. Again, I said they're to me, the standouts of this movie. She's lost her father, who she's very much like. And
you know, she's like challenging him to be better.
Yes.
Like,
and here's what I'm saying. They both need one another.
They do.
And they both bring out the best in the other, because he's lost his children and he's kind of lost the will to live.
Yeah.
And it's
to believe in anybody or anything good, you know.
And it's through this girl that has figured out that there's people out there and they're signaling us, and we've got to find them, because I figured out how to fight these monsters, these aliens. It is through this little girl that he's able to find himself again. And it's just really a touching story within this kind of horror thriller movie. And that's why I like this movie. You guys know I'm not a massive horror person, but this is my type of horror, because it's so much jump scares and thrills.
There's a lot of those.
There's a lot of thrills.
We're not going to tell specific parts. You know, we want you to have the fun in the theater. But yeah, there definitely are a lot of those. And one other thing I was going to touch on, just kind of a specific scene, but I told her there's like a scene in it, if you've seen it, you know, where.
But of course, we are in spoilers, so.
And I'll try not to cry. It made me cry when I sang it to Michelle, but.
Please don't cry.
I'll try not to. But it just hit me when it's like she.
The girl. Yeah.
She thinks like they've talked and stuff.
It's when she's gone on her own and Emily Blunt is able to convince Emmett to go save her daughter.
And they've been together. Yes. But she's like gone to sleep.
Yeah, she's been to sleep.
And she wakes up and obviously the whole world is terrifying, you know, and it's like. Especially for someone deaf. And when she wakes up and goes outside and you're hearing it, when I say hearing it, I mean, you're not hearing.
Yes.
It's like how she would see the world. And she's just like,
she's going to cry. I mean, that girl does a great acting job. She really pulls your heartstrings.
I can't promise there won't be crying in reviews sometimes.
Here, I'll say it for you so you don't cry.
Okay.
She just begins like pounding the ground in tears because she feels like she's alone. Now it's going to make me cry.
And you can just like feel it, like how distraught she is. Like,
now we're both
okay, we are
cry.
Girls, okay?
I mean, but anyways, but then Emmett, he taps you on the back and he's there.
But before she can see that, you can see his boots walking up. But she doesn't know it yet because she can't hear. And it's like, he was there all along, you know?
Yeah.
And like how God is.
It's a really sweet moment. And, but yes, they're trying to get Emmett and, Reagan are trying to get beyond the sea. They figured out where these people are signaling that there is life. And of course, a great scene with them is the whole dock scene where they find other people. And it was a little like, what the heck's going on here?
It was intense, but it was like fun.
It was fun. And that's of course where they use the dive. I said it out loud.
Back, the payback.
I said out loud in the theater, dive. And they do the sign. And anyways, they get out of this mess and they're able to find the people on the island who the National Guard was able to get out, because we find out through this that these creatures can't swim.
Right.
So water's a safe place.
Doesn't it seem common? It seems like a lot of monsters can't swim. Have you ever noticed that theme?
Maybe they don't have water on their alien species planets. So.
I've just noticed that over the years.
But anyways, you see one in a boat kind of drift off, and then Emmett and Reagan go off, and that comes into play later. But let's see, Emily Blunt's character, Evelyn, she is left with the son and the baby, and she's got to go get oxygen because, you know, they keep putting the baby in the little box.
And then there's the baby in the box.
Yeah. I mean, because, of course, he can't cry because the monsters will come. So her journey,
he's got to have the oxygen or he can't.
So her journey in it is going to get oxygen for tanks for the baby. And of course, everything that goes on with that. And then she stops by the gravesite of their son that they lose in the opening scene of the first movie. And She leaves her ring there of course, her husband, Lee, who's now passed away, just kind of signaling like in this world, like you've got to move on to survive.
That's how I took it, because Michelle said, you know, that is kind of weird.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could leave it there that fast, guys.
I see what she's saying, but I do think that was kind of the sentiment behind it. Like you have to learn to just like it, like it's truly just survival, like yes. Move on.
Yes. And then the son has a time and a half with one of those monsters because he gets locked in this little safety room and has no oxygen. And so he's got to share the baby's oxygen, and Evelyn is trying to get to him, and there's a monster. And it
I will tell you, this movie is like 90% pure anxiety.
It is, but it's fun
but
anxiety.
It's fun anxiety.
It's really fun anxiety. You have a lot of fun being induced with anxiety in this movie. I love it. I
just the stakes.
It.
Are always they're here
they're really really high
really high about as high as you can get
they're really high. And thank you, Rick, for the
thank you
$20 and 12 cent super chat. Is this one of the best movie franchise ever to be made with an actual husband and wife? They may be one of the best marriages in Hollywood ever. They really
yeah.
are, and they've been married, I know, over 10 years. So they're one of those couples that you would be genuinely sad if they
yeah.
ever didn't make it for some reason,
right?
Because you like believe in them that they can go the distance.
Yeah, definitely.
And Rick, so right. It is just so awesome that a husband and wife duo in real life that's been married for over 10 years and has two kids, that they seem to enjoy working with one another so much.
Right.
And we're able to put together such a tight-knit story.
And they're creating this original pure
yes.
movie magic.
Yes.
You know? So it's
absolutely.
Awesome.
It's awesome. And so anyways, and thank you, Rick. Getting it back to kind of, it ends with Evelyn's dealing with this monster at their house, where they're staying, where Emmett was. And Emmett and Reagan, they're able to get to the radio tower because she can blast the frequency, put it on blast, so it could help everyone if they would turn the radio on, because those creatures just go nuts when they hear that noise. And
I will say, when they got there and it was like this little utopia,
It was like, well, this is interesting.
I thought, when things seem too good to be true, that's because they probably are.
Yes, because we find
something's coming.
Because we find out that one of the creature on the boat that we just saw float on,
that dang creature.
Emmett walks around and sees it's found its way to like another portion of the island, and then it starts wreaking havoc on that island.
And just that scene when it touches, I mean, just the effects in this to not, you know, maybe spend what some movies do.
Well, and they got
I know they had a bigger budget for this one.
I think around 80 million this time, because
okay.
the other one made so much money that they upped the budget. And I think they really spent it on the creatures, because
yeah.
they show them a lot.
You do get a lot more detail.
And like bright coloring. They're not trying to hide them because of bad CGI. Like they're showing them. So I think that's where the money went.
We will say this is not a critique. They do look very similar to the Stranger Things Demogorgons.
I'd say John has to be a fan of Stranger Things. That's all.
Hey, I love Stranger Things, so I don't care. It works for
well,
me.
And this movie's so original.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, you can take an inspiration here and there.
And I'm getting ADHD right now, but something that is just so awesome about this movie is how it makes you afraid of sound. And it's just, that was
yeah.
so cool in the first one, and it's still cool in the second one.
Kind of like when you have a newborn, so you learn to be that quiet.
Natalie
said. That's what I said. I don't think she, I can tell when my daughter, like, she didn't really get it. It's like you either get it or you just kind of learn to be that way if they're sleeping. You know?
Yes, and you have to be quiet in this movie. But so anyways, the chase scene with Emmett and Reagan and the other gentleman, I forget his name, he's very familiar, he's been in a lot of stuff. But like when it jumps on the car, I mean, there's just so many scenes in this movie that you're like, oh, like you're just like, go, go.
Just so much, like just when you think you can't get any more jump scares, there's another one that's going to get you.
That's why I'm saying we can't ruin this movie
yeah.
for you, because the jump scares, you're on the edge of your seat the whole movie. Like, I'm going to thoroughly enjoy seeing this a second time. I may enjoy it more. I mean,
yeah, I'm pumped to see it again.
I am too. If you can't tell, we really like this movie. But anyways, so one of the things I was like, you know what, Dave, and here's a big spoiler, guys. It's like, I was like, Emmett's had such an amazing arc. They're going to let him go out in a blaze of fire. Like
a blaze of glory.
A blaze of glory, like they did Lee in the first one. And So when he gets grabbed by one, his leg, I was like, man, this is it. Because you really grow to care for Emmett over the course of this movie.
You do.
And because he's awesome. And he has such an amazing arc in this movie.
And I mean, I have plans for the family unit and everything.
she has. but
Emmett and Emily.
But anyways, it was so awesome. The girl is finally able. And I love how they pan back between the boy and Emily Blunt and Emmett and Reagan. And she finally gets her earpiece and she puts it on blast before the creature can kill Emmett. And then oh no, it's awesome. So again, setting things up, the boy had left, or no, was it Emily Blunt's character? One of them left the gun and it shows the gun's left, but the boy gets out. He hears all of a sudden in their dire situation that his sister has made it. And he turns to the frequency.
Oh, such a moment of hope. And
oh, it's so good.
Such crazy turmoil.
I mean, talk about a scene. You're like, yes, because the girl's got it on blast in the thing. And she's able to take like almost like a big piece of metal, like a spear, and just stab it through its head and save Emmett's life at that point. And he saved her up until that point. He's got her to this position to do what she's about to do. And then, of course, Emily Blunt has saved her. I mean, Evelyn has saved her son. But then all of a sudden, he gets up with the radio blaring and then gets the gun and just boom. Right. And and you're just like, yes. And it's like, did you catch? I feel like Evelyn was so proud of her son in that moment. She was like,
it's about time.
She's like, bravo, son. Way to kill that alien. Way to shoot it through the head.
But I would be really proud.
I would be too. I mean, just they give the kids these awesome moments.
After, I love that. Yeah.
After the adults have had, you know, most of the great moments up until this point. And it was just an amazing end. And I love, yet again, just as the first one just abruptly ends, like, victoriously, this one just ends victoriously.
But it's so sudden.
It is.
But then that's part of what makes you want it more.
Oh, gosh,
so dang bad for the next. You're like, oh, my gosh, I can't. So these are going to be those movies that, like, you loved. You saw them in the theater. But say The Next Generation or whatever.
Yes.
You're like, hey, you haven't seen the Quiet Place trilogy. Let's watch those together. You know, these are those awesome kind of movies that I think will stand the test of time.
Well, and here's what I'm going to say. If they, because part three is Gremlin, we don't know about it, but surely that's already inked out and already being written up as we speak. Because this movie was set up. Now, where the first
one. It's got to have a third.
Where the first one was genuinely made thinking it's a one and done. The second one was made knowing there's an end to this trilogy.
Yeah.
And if they, guys, if they stick the landing, this is going to be one of the greatest trilogies of my lifetime.
I really think that's what I said when I said
like
it
really will be.
I feel like they've got something special here. I mean, I really think, I mean, these are standout movies.
These are incredible movies.
This has the potential to be like one of the great trilogies. Like,
it does.
I mean, to me, it's that good.
Like, in my opinion, if they stick the landing, this will be the best trilogy since Lord of the Rings in the last 20 something years.
Truly.
Like
without a doubt.
That's how good to me these movies are. And and again, if you enjoyed the first one, the second one was just great too. Just even more jump scares and things like that. So that's all the good. The bad. That I don't have part three already. That's the bad of this movie. I need part three now. I don't want to have to wait. That's the bad of this movie. And then my only nitpick is that it was like, really? The alien, it floated all the way over there. But you had to get it over there, guys.
That big clumsy alien.
I mean, sometimes in movies you just get, that's a nitpick that didn't bother me at all, really. It is what it is. It's a movie. But so there's not really. So we will rate this movie. And I think if you haven't figured out a rating, you probably don't know. So we rate, we give five, the rating goes up to 5 hoots, 5 being the best. Guys, what do you guys think? You guys in the chat begin to give me, if you've seen this movie, give me your hoots for this movie. But I'm giving this movie 5 out of 5 hoots. This is the most fun I have had in a movie theater that I can remember in a long time.
Yeah, it's like a ride. It's like an experience.
It is an experience. It is a ride. It is meant to be seen in a theater. And it was such a fun ride and experience. I can't wait to go back tomorrow and watch this movie again.
Yeah. So I think these movies, you know, this movie, it's like, they just nailed it. Like with it being so much like action and intensity
and heart
and scares, but that's what I'm getting. That's yeah. what really sets it apart is the emotion and the hope that shines through in the darkness. You know, I get cheesy, but I mean, really, that's how I feel about these movies. Like yeah. they somehow do it all.
Yeah.
So I think without a doubt, Five Hoots.
Five Hoots.
Absolutely.
I mean, this movie, it was just, again, it didn't disappoint. I had really high expectations. So when I have massive expectations and you don't not only just disappoint, I feel like you even exceeded my expectations. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for the next installment, part three of this, hopefully. I mean, they could probably do more, but I feel like they could wrap this up in a trilogy and just make it awesome. Awesome,
like classic story.
Absolutely awesome. And thank you so much, David, for the $19.99 super chat. So enjoyable watching you two and your movie reviews. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
David's awesome. We appreciate you guys. All of you, everyone in the chat, we appreciate you guys and girls. When we say guys, we mean guys and girls.
We mean guys and ladies.
But yeah, and kind of last thing I want to say about this movie as we close up on this review. Hollywood needs to take note because John Krasinski, like, I feel like he understands most of America. And you see that in these movies. It is about family.
Also, like, it's a good movie to do today. You know, yes. To talk about.
It's about family. I noticed that in both movies, they even have them pray, kind of this American culture in a way. It's just like he gets the average American. And right. I feel like that's why we love these movies because Hollywood.
They're so like real, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much realness in this crazy, in these crazy circumstances.
I feel like Hollywood has kind of lost the art of knowing how to connect with their audiences. And this movie connects with its audience.
Right.
Tremendously so. And it's creative. There's been nothing like it. In fact, there's movies now copying this kind of set something to where movies like Bird Box and other movies want to copy, you know, removing a sense.
Exactly.
Like this is a trendsetter movie.
It is because it's such a great concept. Let's see.
What we want to get?
Yes. Waiting for Nerdrotic. Yes, I agree. I do see that theme in these movies.
Yes, absolutely. Again, it was very, very family oriented in both movies. You have very loving fathers and, of course, the loving mother that they have in this movie and how parents will do anything for their children.
Yes, I think that's a big theme in it, too. That's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes. And this movie, again, it is a tightly written, good story that doesn't require a massive budget. And guess what? If you write a good story and have good acting, you don't need a massive budget. And these movies show that. But yeah, I can't, if you guys have not seen I Saw Rick, you've not seen it, get to a theater.
Go see it.
You've got to see it. If you've not seen the first one, watch it tonight. It's a fun experience. And I will say this, last thing I'm going to say. At least I say that. Last thing I believe I'm going to say is that where the when I walked out of the first one, I knew I liked it because I kept thinking about it. I thought about it for days. Actually, I can say that. But because of that emotional, heart-wrenching scene of Lee, of course, John's character, sacrificing himself for his children, which was so touching and heart-wrenching, that whole scene, I left the theater like kind of sad because that's a sad moment, even though it actually ends pretty like, yeah.
It does. With her in that face when she cocks the gun or what is that how you say it?
But with this movie, I computer stuff. What is going on? What the heck just happened? What are we doing here? There we go. Guys, I had Adobe Player popping up. Excuse us. But anyways. With this movie, it ended and I just left pumped. I left the theater excited and pumped. So I say that
and
to
I
say,
want more.
I feel like it's not as sad as the first one.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of like in a, I don't know, rebuilding phase of the I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a lot of
it's
crap,
it's a transitional phase.
It is.
It's a transitional movie.
Right. But
yeah, but that's kind of it, guys. That's our spoiler review/discussion of A Quiet Place Part 2. Again, 5 hoots across the board.
10, if I could give it 10.
Yes. Awesome movie. An incredible theater experience. They knocked it out of the park again. Can't wait to go see it again. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not seen it, go to your local theater and go watch this movie because you will not be disappointed. It is a fun movie. But I think that's it. You finished?
I'm finished. Great movie. Love it. So much about it.
Yeah, and I love it's killing it, guys. It's already made, I believe, like 80-something million worldwide. It's bringing people back to the theater, and you just got to love it. You got to love it.
I do.
But
it
was
the movie that should.
It is. So that is it for our spoiler review / discussion of A Quiet Place Part 2. If you have not yet and you're new, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Also, give the video a thumbs up. And let me actually read this before we sign off. Waiting for Nerdrotic. Thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, we appreciate that. Appreciate everyone in the chat.
Yes,
you guys
do.
Made this fun.
Our kind of impromptu chat.
Yes, we appreciate you guys. And as everyone, remember to be a force of light.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.